Arshis Vaeschanan, the parasha begins, Vaeschanan El Hashem Vaeisahi Leimor. Moshe Rabbeinu implores of the Rabbeinu Shalom at that time, saying, Rashi, famous Rashi, says that the Lashon of Vaeschanan means that Moshe Rabbeinu was asking for a matnas chinam, a free gift. He didn't daven to the Rabbeinu Shalom by saying, listen here, God, I'm a good guy that'll have a lot of schusim, I've done a lot of good things in my life, let me into Eretz Yisrael. He doesn't say that. He says, matnas chinam, I request of you free gift, I don't deserve it, can you give it to me anyways? The Medrash says that there's a special room in Gan Eden for those that have many zechusim, but nonetheless request things from the Baruch Shalom as a gift, and not because they are entitled to it. Now, we're not talking about someone who doesn't have any zechusim, a Russian who goes, and someone who didn't do a mitzvah in his life, and he comes to the Baruch Shalom and says, oh, Baruch Shalom, I want a free gift. Well, of course he wants a free gift. He has nothing to bring with him. We're talking about someone who inherently has zechusim. He was a righteous person, and he comes with a taina of, it might be yes, maybe no, but that's not my point. I'm requesting to come for free. That's the Yisrael. The Mefarshim say it was one of the Targum, I believe, of Rome Avinu as well, in Parashas Lech Lecha, Kapitel Tezvav. And the Pasuk says, I believe, let me see quickly, Lamed Tezvav, Pasuk Aleph, I believe it is. Achaz vor meila hayedvar Hashem al Avram b'machaz elim al tira Avram anoichi magen locha. They type magen loch. They type shmagen is again a matnas chinam. Magen loch sechar chahar be'me'oy. You're gonna get a lot of schar Avram Avinu. It's gonna be free. It's gonna be a free gift. You shouldn't worry. It's not gonna be menachem mizchuyosav. It's not gonna detract from your zechuyos. Rather, it's gonna be a free gift. And Chazal over there say that the way it works is that when someone does something good, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam has to help you. But if you do it with the right kavana, then even though Rebbeinu Shel Olam is helping you, he gives it to you as if you earned it. So you get both. You get a matnas chinam, but at the same time, as if you earned it, so you're not getting anything free from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Okay. So he's doing, Rebbeinu Shel Olam is giving you everything. He's being very nice to us and giving us a free gift and making as if we earned it, because we did it. We did a mitzvah, we're entitled to schar. Rebbeinu Shel Olam has to help us. Person can't do any mitzvah, can't build a sukkah, doesn't have the koiches, doesn't have the money, where does he have it all from? It's all from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. But nonetheless, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam makes it as if it's ours, and we get schar and Olam Habo for it. The Gemara in Sota Daf Yudal Amud Aleph says, Rav Simloi is Dorash, why did Moshe Rabbeinu want to enter Eretz Yisrael? He explains that Moshe wanted to enter Eretz Yisrael because there are many mitzvahs that can only be fulfilled in Eretz Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu replied to Moshe that since his only desire to enter Eretz Yisrael was to get schar for the mitzvahs, that was his purpose, he is going to get schar if he performed those mitzvahs. As I state, the Marsha says, how could it be that this is Moshe Rabbeinu's quest? Moshe Rabbeinu wants schar, that's what he wanted. He wanted to go into Eretz Yisrael so she can get do mitzvahs and she gets schar? This is all about Moshe Rabbeinu. What's shot, Marsha asks. Says in Masechta Sabbos that we should be not like servants who serve their master for the sake of receiving reward. Instead, we should be like servants who serve their master not for the sake of receiving reward. Moshe Rabbeinu certainly would follow what it says in the Sabbos. Moshe Rabbeinu, certainly. We're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu. The Ben Yoyada says in the name of his son, Rabbi Yaakov, Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to do the mitzvah for the simcha of the mitzvah. The optimal way to mekayim a mitzvah is with simcha. It says in the Pasuk in Parshas Kisavoy, Tachas eshaloyavadato es Hashem aloykecha besimcha v'tov levo. One has to serve the Rebbeinu Shel Olam with simcha. It says in Ovis, in Perek Beis, Mishnah Beis, Schar mitzvah mitzvah. The schar of a mitzvah is the mitzvah itself. The satisfaction in knowing that one served his master properly is his reward. That's the reward. You want to know what the schar mitzvah is? The mitzvah is that I can feel, wow, I had a tafkid, I had a purpose in life. If someone wants to please, you want to please a parent, you want to please your boss, you want to please someone because you respect them and you look up to them, and that's what your tafkid is. So if you do a good job, it could be cleaning the floor, it could be doing anything, but your reward is that the master is proud and happy that, wow, you see, this person did it. That's the actual fulfillment. That is the schar. The schar mitzvah is the doing the mitzvah and performing it. The schar that the Mishnah is referring to is not the same schar that Moshe was requesting. That schar is not what Moshe was requesting. The schar that Moshe was requesting was a superior way to perform mitzvahs. This is the same schar that Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, refers to in Shmois. It says, "Vayeta v'alikim lamiyaldois vayera v'om vayatz moed." Hashem benefited the midwives, and the people increased and became very strong. So the pasuk says again, "Vayeta v'alikim lamiyaldois vayera v'om vayatz moed." And then what happens in the next pasuk? Then it tells us after that they got the kahuna and the malchus. Other states, right? But the Moshe says is the reward, the Iker reward was not the Kohen and the Malchus. That wasn't the reward. You want to know what the Iker reward was? The Iker reward was the people increased and became very strong. That was the reward. Mitzrayim. When Pari and Klal Yisrael were working in Mitzrayim, he made pieces in Ramses. The Klal Yisrael were working and they were building on quicksand, and what they were trying to accomplish, they weren't. So they kept on building, and as they're building, it's sinking into the ground. Nothing worse feeling, no worse feeling than that. The exact opposite. What are the midwives, what do they want to do? Shifra and Pua, they wanted to save Klal Yisrael, they wanted to save the babies. You want to know what their greatest schar was? For them to see that the nation grew, and the nation, that these babies lived, and the nation became stronger? Rav Moshe says, that was the Iker Schar, the Pasuk is telling us. They got an additional Schar, yeah. Everyone takes that Pasuk, they got the Kohen and Malchus, that was the Schar. That's not the Iker Schar, that's the secondary, yeah. It's a nice thing to have, Moshe says, but that's not the Iker. That's the Pshat. That was the Iker. The midwives lost Klal Yisrael so much that there was no greater reward for them than to see Klal Yisrael thrive. If one loves Hashem, and he has nothing else in his mind other than pleasing the Rebbeinu Shlomo, then it is schar for the mitzvah is a mitzvah. What did Moshe Rabbeinu want? Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want the schar that he wanted, reward that you were going to get, the kohuna and the malchus. That's not what Moshe Rabbeinu wanted. When the Gemara tells us Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to go into Eretz Yisrael to get schar for the mitzvah, he wanted to get the schar of the schar mitzvah, that I fulfill what the Rebbeinu Shlomo wanted. The Rebbeinu Shlomo wants us to do mitzvahs, and the Rebbeinu Shlomo is proud of Klal Yisrael, like a master is proud of his servant when he fulfills it. There's no greater fulfillment of the servant than fulfilling it. So Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to go into Eretz Yisrael to perform the mitzvahs of Eretz Yisrael and get schar mitzvah, not reward. He didn't want to get kohuna, he didn't want to get malchus, he didn't want to get $1 million. He wanted to please the Rebbeinu Shlomo. That's what he wanted. It says in the Yosef Oimitz, after the 9th and 10th of the Av, the Tisha B'Av and the Yud Av, he says one has to start to slowly forget about the Churban Beis HaMikdash, and he should concentrate on the Chama, not Chashon to forget. He doesn't mean to forget. He means, what's the focus? The beginning of the month until Tisha B'Av, the focus is the Churban. That's the focus. Like we explained from Shlomo Kluger, in the Kilas Yaakov, that he explains that we have to see it on Tisha B'Av, and the Beis HaMikdash, you're supposed to see a fire. There's a fire burning. There was on Tisha B'Av, there was a fire burning. The house is burning now. The Beis HaMikdash is burning now. That was the focus. When a person's focus is the burning of the Beis HaMikdash, all he sees is destruction in front of him. We didn't do mitzvahs. We didn't learn the Torah properly. We didn't fulfill the will of the Rebbeinu Shalom properly. And therefore, we're in this matzav, and the Beis HaMikdash is burning. The Beis HaMikdash is burning right in front of us. But if the Beis HaMikdash is burning, we can't work now on becoming better. The tzipia of the Yeshua is not as great, because that's not the focus. The focus is on the burning. So the Yosef Haimit says is that on the 10th of Av, you start looking towards the future, towards the rebuilding. We have to say, okay, now, let's... work on the Tzipiyah Yeshua, to work on Mashiach is going to come. We're going to do things. We're not going to just sit here and cry anymore. We're not going to sit here and say, "Oh, Nebuch, it's our fault again. There's no Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash was charred over 2,000 years ago, and it's not rebuilt today because we still didn't bring it." But it's not the focus anymore. The focus now is on the future. We have to start thinking about the future. That's the point. On Tisha B'Av, from the Zman Mincha and onward, some of the hilchos of Avelus are reduced. We know you're ready. You can sit on chairs. A whole bunch of the things you'll start to be able to do. Pritzadik explains that the reason for the reduced Avelus is because on Tisha B'Av was the day of the birth of Mashiach. That's what he said in the Pritzadik. There's something positive that's happening. When we get so low, there's a concept, Maral talks about it. When you get so low and you see the bottom, there's only one way to go then. You can go up. With the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, we don't have, the Shechinah is not here with us. If we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, there's only one way for us to go. But we have to strive to go up. We're not going to go up by ourselves, but there's only one way to go. The Shabbos after Tisha B'Av is called Shabbos Nachmu, because of the Avtera that is linked. It is a mitzvah to treat the Shabbos as a yomtiv. As we state in the Yosef Eimitz. It's a mitzvah. We have to realize what Shabbos is. Like we explained in the share a few weeks ago about what the Yisrael of Shabbos is, that Shabbos, even when we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, the Shekhinah comes to us. It says, Yismach Moshe b'matnas Cholka. We say in Shmoneh Esrei on Shabbos day, on Yismach Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu comes and returns those crowns that we got when we said Nasa v'nishma. Moshe Rabbeinu comes and returns it to us. Okay, the Shekhinah comes down. We get a Neshama Yisera. Where does the Neshama come from? The Neshama comes from Tachas Kisei HaKovod. It comes directly from the Kisei HaKovod. It says we have a Neshama Yisera. That's a closer connection to the Shekhinah. That's what Shabbos is all about. That's what Shabbos Nachum is all about. There are two types of actions that can help rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Until Tisha B'Av, there's the mourning over the Beis HaMikdash. We have to feel a void in our lives, and we have to feel the sorrow and pain of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. That's our purpose. That's what we have to accomplish. Then there's the second part of Av, which is after Yud Av. It is a period of Nechama. What does that mean? Instead of focusing on the negative, that we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, we have to focus on the positive, that the Beis HaMikdash will come. The Rebbeinu Shalom promised it to us, and it will come. We need to yearn for the Beis HaMikdash. On Shabbos, there's no mourning. We know there's no mourning on Shabbos. There's no Avelis. Even if Tisha B'Av comes out on Shabbos, there's no mourning. Nechama we do experience on Shabbos. More Avelis, not Nechama, yes. Shabbos Nachamu is the day that we have to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He will rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, and it's something that we yearn for. It's an Avodah. We have to think about it. What is the Shabbos about? I don't remember who says it. I remember years ago hearing a beautiful pshat. It seems like the Balei Tzvila now don't do it a lot, but certainly when I was a kid, whenever I davened, they always did it like this. When they sing L'Chadoidi on Friday night, Kabbalah Shabbos, they used to sing the first six stanzas in a slower niggun, or more of a feeling of his iris, and then the last, they would end off, V'fai Leisei Vaishu, they would turn to a lebedig. And he says that the pshat is the reason for everything. I'm not saying they don't do it here, but I've already been to shuls where the whole thing is lebedig and gishmak. And I'm not pining on it, but there's things that reasons that we do things as mekayis sometimes. Sometimes they're good. Sometimes it's just mekayis. Doesn't mean it's, I'm not saying it's a theory, but it's just interesting that the yisoid is that we go through the 3 weeks. He says is that the first 3 weeks it's avelus. So we have to have a slow song. It's sad. The next 3 weeks we have to counteract that. The avodah is to counteract that. It's still a slow song. After the six stanzas, now we're counting the 4 weeks. We're counting now to get into. Now it's all happiness already. The nechama is here. He says after that, after the counteracting, there's a three and the seven. There's the Shiva de Nachemta. We have the three Avelis, the three Bein HaMetzarim, and the Shiva de Nachemta. It says once you get to the ready after the three to counteract it, the last four are Lebedig, because now the focus is the Nechama. That's the focus. We have to realize this. Everything is, there's a dichotomy. We're sad at the same time we're happy. But we have to realize, we have to think about what are we trying to accomplish? What are we supposed to be doing? The Kedushan Slavi says that Moshe davened to Hashem bo esahi at that time. Moshe Rabbeinu knew that the Rabbeinu Shleilam had tremendous love for Klal Yisrael. Everything that Rabbeinu Shleilam does, he does for the good of Klal Yisrael. There are times that we don't see it. Pasha, we don't see it. But nonetheless, we have to know it's all for our good. You know what Moshe Rabbeinu was asking? It's a huffle dig, it's a pell dig, Kedushas Levi. V'eschananel Hashem bo'esahi lemo. You know what his request was? He wasn't asking to go into Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu was not requesting that. His request was, Rabbeinu Shalom, show me why it's good for me. I don't understand. It's bothering me. I want to go into Eretz Yisrael so badly. I know that everything that you, Rabbeinu Shalom, does is for our good. It's for my good. I know that. But show it to me. Because we're in Tzar, we don't see it. And someone like Lane was in the Tzar, it's very hard to say that I'm going to be happy anyways. You have a Tzar. But you have to realize the Maisa, the Rabbeinu Shalom does everything for our good. Maisha was saying is, show me God. Rabbeinu Shalom, show me. I'd like to see it good. I don't see it good. I want to go into Eretz Yisrael. I don't see it. Please show me. The Kedushas Levi also says that the month of Av is Aleph Beis. Aleph stands for Or, and Beis stands for Baruch. He said the first part of the month, he said the 15 days, the first part of the month, the first 14 days is Aleph, is Or, and then from Tu B'Av on, we have Shabbos Nachamu, and then Tu B'Av, which is a great Yom Tov for Klal Yisrael, that's already Baruch. That's what Av is. We talk have to be what? Aleph Beis. The Rosh HaTevet. The word Av is Aleph and a Beis. The Aleph is the first part of the month is Or, was cursed. That's when the destruction was. And the second part is Beis is Baruch. And they're shaping the Kedushas Levi. We have to take a daven to Rabbeinu Shalom that we should be zecher to have a gift from him. We have to realize that we have Shabbos Nachamu. What is its meaning? It's not just a time to go to hotels and eat a lot of food and say, oh, now we can have whatever we want and there's no Avelis because Tisha B'Av is behind us. We have to work on the Tzipia to the Yeshua of what the purpose is, that the Rabbeinu Shalom is our Father, the Rabbeinu Shalom wants what's good for us, and that has to be the focus. It says a little bit later in the parasha, "Shmartem v'asisem ki hi chokhmaschem uvinaschem leinu amim asher yishmon es kol hachukim ha'ele v'amu rak am chachom v'navon ha'goy ha'gadol hazeh. You shall safeguard and perform them, for it is your wisdom and understanding in the eyes of the peoples who shall hear all these decrees and who shall say." That Umas Olam are going to say, the only wise and understanding people is this great nation. Which great nation? Klal Yisrael. The Torah is telling us how we must adhere to the Torah HaKadosh and its mitzvahs. Why does the Torah tell us that the other nations of the world will recognize our wisdom and understanding, and we will realize that we are a great nation? Why do we care what other nations of the world think? Why? We need to follow up Kadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon because he is the Melech Malach and Lachem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And not that other nations should respect us. We're looking for respect from the nations. If we're looking for respect from the nations now, we're definitely in trouble. We all know that. Rashi says Ushmartem refers to Mishnah, and Asisem refers to the simple meaning of the word to perform them. Mishnah. One has to study Mishnah in order to know how to perform the Mitzvah HaTorah. Ki Chokh Maschem Uvinaschem. Rashi is explaining the Torah Shebapeh. We have Torah Shebiksav. But how do we know Tzvillin? How do you know what Tzvillin are? Torah Shebapeh. So the Torah tells us to put on Tzvillin. But what are they? Torah Shebapeh. Azayish Teit Nirashi. It says in the Mincha Balula. It says in the Pasuk, "Loisei Sifu Adavar Asher Neichim Mitzave Eschem, Veloisei Yuri Menu Lishmar Es Mitzrayis Hashem Alekeichem Asher Neichim Mitzave Eschem. You shall not add to the word that I command you, nor shall you subtract from it to observe the commandments of Hashem, your God, that I command you. Mitzvahs Hashem Alekeichem. When the Pasuk says Mitzvahs Hashem Alekeichem, it teaches us that we should never think that the mitzvahs of the Torah are something which can be determined with our own human knowledge. The Torah tells us that they are godly mitzvahs and we must never add or subtract from them. Loisei Sifu, don't add on, don't take away, you don't know what you're talking about. Rabbeinu Yoel says, Sifu is written chaser, to without the vav, to teach us that if one attempts to add to the Torah, he is actually chaser subtracting from the Torah. This is Israel Bal Tosef. Many years ago, I remember when I zeichet to have my first child. I remember I had a brother, shogar, brother-in-law, who every Friday night he'd come home from shul, saw it a couple of times, and he would bench his kids. And they looked like a beautiful minik, a beautiful, beautiful minik. Yeah, very nice. So I called up a little David shooter, was saying gesund. I said, "Should I do it? Should I bench my kids Friday night?" He says, "Did your father ever bench your kids? Did your father bench you and your siblings?" I said, "Yeah." He says, "When?" I said, "Once a year, Erev Yom Kippur." He says, "Okay." He says, "My father also benched me only once a year, Erev Yom Kippur." He says, "You bench your kids, Mi Hashem, once a year, Erev Yom Kippur. You turned out okay, Baruch Hashem." He said, "Maybe he's being kind to me." And he says, "And everything will be good." What was the pshat? It wasn't the Israel Bal Tosef, Chas V'Shalom, if someone does that. But the point of it is that we shouldn't take things that make us feel good, because if you only do things in Yiddishkeit that make you feel good, then you're going to end up things that you don't like as much, you're going to stop doing. That's what Rabbeinu Yoel is saying, this concept that if one attempts to add to the Torah, again, this is a deraisa, I'm not comparing a deraisa to what I'm talking about. If someone does it, it's not an aveira, it's not the Bal Tosef, I'm not saying that. But the yisoid is true, that if a person connects himself to Yiddishkeit, this makes me feel good. You have people saying, "Yes, you know, I'm going to sing, and I don't have to do mitzvahs, but I like singing, and I'm going to sing with a passion to the Rabbeinu Shalom, and that's going to bring me close to the Rabbeinu Shalom, that's not going to bring me close to the Rabbeinu Shalom." If you don't follow the mitzvah Torah, and you don't follow what Chazal tell us, then you're not going to be close to the Rabbeinu Shalom. You're going to think you're close to the Rabbeinu Shalom. You're singing beautiful songs at the Vekas. It's not songs at the Vekas if you're not following the Torah. It's a joke. It says in Rabbeinu Bachya, "Ushmartem batzisem," the Torah says that even from the adherence to the chukas, HaTorah, the mitzvah for which the reasons are not revealed to us, the chukim, the world will acknowledge Klal Yisrael's wisdom. The wisdom inherent in the portion of the Torah which we do understand, will convince intellectually honest people that there must be a heavenly wisdom in the chukim as well. It's brought down a ma'aseh with Yirmiyah by the Chorban. I forgot who it was with. I think it brought down the Ramah. But there's a ma'aseh that he saw that Yirmiyah was crying. There was some sort of nobleman. He saw that Yirmiyah was crying over the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, and he says, "What are you crying over?" Plato. You know, Plato. I think. Yeah, I think they say that. Yeah.
Philosoph.
Yeah. So I'm saying, one philosopher. Some say it was Plato. And he was, you know, mourning, crying over, you know, stones. And the Plato will call him, because Mendy said that was who he was, we'll call him philosopher. So the philosopher says, "What's wrong with you?" Yirmiyah says, "Go ahead, ask me any question you want about the world." And he asked him a whole bunch of questions, and Yirmiyah, things that this philosopher for years never understood, and he answered each and every one, no problem. And he says, "Oh, well," he was impressed. He says, "Now he doesn't understand. You seem to know everything, but yet he's sitting here crying over some stones that are broken. I mean, who cares?" Yirmi explained to him, "But you're right. You might not be able to understand, but you should realize the way I understand the wisdom of a Torah, and I understand everything. I'm telling you, this is life. The Beis Hamikdash is life. That is life. Without the Beis Hamikdash, there's no life. The chiyas of Klal Yisrael comes from the Beis Hamikdash. That is where the chiyas is from. And when we don't have the Beis Hamikdash, we have to feel we're missing a part of our life." It says in the Chaymas Anoch, in the Pasuk in Mishlei, "B'niyim yifatucha chatoim al tevoy." My son, if sinners seduce you, do not be enticed. The Pasuk is teaching us how to stay on the proper path of Avodas Hashem. If a sinner comes and presents arguments with trickery to explain why you are doing things which are improper, do not respond to him. He may be able to win the debate with you through trickery, while in reality his words are false and deceitful. Preferably, you should just answer, "Al tevoy, I don't want to follow in your path," and do not give him reasons. Someone told me a little while back, there's a certain, I think it says a blog somewhere, where they'll take famous shaylos, and the psak usually is, let's say something is author, and you'll see there rayas and your proofs that it's mutter. The guy tells me, he says, "I'm telling you, you should go to the site," he says, "and you're going to be impressed that it's really gohagin, that they quote Rambams and all, you know, real sources." And I told him, "I'm not even going to look at it." He says, "You're not going to look at it?" I So I'm certainly not going to look at it. Said, you're missing the point over here. What are they doing, these people? They're not looking for the truth. They don't care about the truth. They're looking to say is, oh, all the Paiskim, Paskin, this is Aser. I'm going to say, no, I'm going to find us a way to say it's Mutter. And they therefore take the Rambam, and they take the Rishonim, and they take the Achronim, and they twist it. And they take Torah, and they pervert it in the worst possible way. Those people attack the Rishonim. They're in bigger trouble, maybe if they didn't. They take the Torah and use it as a weapon against to the Torah. That's the worst thing you could do with the Torah. You have to be careful. You have to say, no, I'm not even looking at it. You have to know the right way, the right path of where things are coming from and where you're going to. This is an important story that we have to realize. It says in Tzavar Yisrael, Tzavar Yisrael, from the Chidah, Anoichi, Anoichi, hu menachemchem. It is I am he who comforts you. Why did the Pasuk say Anoichi twice? Anoichi, Anoichi. It is in the Schos of the Torah which begins with the Aseres HaDibas of Anoichi Hashem Alekecha, and the Schos of the Shechina which is called Anoichi, that Klal Yisrael will see their final redemption. Anoichi Hashem Alekecha, and Anoichi that Klal Yisrael will see their final redemption, the Shechina. The Pasuk says the word Anoichi twice to correspond to the Schos of Torah and to the Shechina. Anoichi is the Shechina and the Torah. It says in the Kehilas Yaakov from Shlomo Kluger, and after Shabbos Nachamu that we have coming up, it says Nachamu Nachamu Ami, comfort, comfort my people. If the purpose of this pasuk was to comfort Klal Yisrael, the way most people understand it, then the pasuk should have said Nachamu Nachamu Le'ami with a lamed, meaning the comfort should be to my nation Klal Yisrael. That's not what the pasuk says. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying Nachamu Nachamu Ami, you my nation should comfort me. The Malachi Asharis wanted to comfort HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he would not accept it. He would not accept it from them. However, from Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepts Tanchumim, consolation. This can be understood with the Moshe of a king who had a sick child. He spared no expenditures to get the child healthy again. Although the king was pained by the loss of money spent, because he spent a lot of money to save his child, he was consoled by the fact that his loss of money is what cured his child. So too, if Klal Yisrael do tshuva because of the Chorban, it's a terrible Chorban, came the marshal of spending a lot of money, well, $5,000, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is consoled. It was worth the great loss of the Beis Hamikdash if that is what causes Klal Yisrael to do tshuva and return to their father, the king. The pshat and the pasuk of the nations of the world will respect us. We need to know and believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created and runs the world. We are His children. When we are in pain, the Rabbeinu Shalom is in pain. We need to do tshuva so the Beis Hamikdash should be rebuilt again, which will result in a much stronger connection between Klal Yisrael and the Rabbeinu Shalom. Our belief needs to be strong enough that we do not need to justify it to the nations of the world. That's not what our emunah has to be. We will not debate them. We will know with certainty that we have the perfect Torah HaKadosh. The other nations of the world will see our emunah. They will realize that we are the chosen nation, the chosen of the Rabbeinu Shalom. But the pasuk is telling us that if we create, not shat that we care about them. That's not the pasuk is telling us. But rather is if we show and we have such great emunah under Rabbeinu Shalom that we don't care about them. And we have all the answers and we're not going to get tricked from them. We don't care. You have the world is talking against Klal Yisrael. The world doesn't understand Klal Yisrael. The world is on and on, Klal Yisrael, Israel, Israel, the Jews. What do we have to do? What's our avoda? How are the goyim going to recognize it? If we have true emunah. When we have true emunah in the Rabbeinu Shalom, and we believe in the Rabbeinu Shalom, and it's going to cause the Beis Hamikdash to be rebuilt and Mashiach to come, that's going to cause all the nations of the world to recognize that we are truly the chosen nation. Have a good Shabbos.